It's Tuesday, November 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. We've got a great show for you. A few articles on tap tonight are the Google secret code. There's a new owner of the Sun. Did you know that? Who needs your cable company when you have Microsoft? And talk about domain name seizures, plus much, much, much more. Okay, let's get ready. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, of course, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studios here in Honolulu. It's great to be home. It's great to be back in Hawaii. It's great to be back in the studio. You just have no idea. You know, it was a nice chilly 40 degrees when I left Albuquerque last week. And I'm sitting here in shorts, quite literally gym shorts. And not a t-shirt, but a polo shirt. And it is absolutely fantastic to be home. And I've got a lot to talk to you about tonight. Some good, some sad, some in between. And it's been a crazy few days. But I guess the first thing off, I want to welcome all the longtime listeners of the show. I want to welcome the Ohana. Of course, I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. And I hope you're all back safely. And hope you had plenty to eat and enjoyed spending time with family and friends and so forth. Of course, if you're a listener from one of our 178 countries that tune in, and welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content. Check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. That will get you dialed into all the older shows. And of course, you can subscribe as well to the show via the website. There's basically a box right on there. You can pick the flavor of the day that you want to subscribe to, whether it be audio or video. And sign up for our newsletter. Newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight. I'll email that out directly following the show. It'll contain all the links and all the topics that I've covered. And of course, that'll be in your inbox immediately following the show. So that way, when you actually do, you've downloaded the show because you've subscribed to it, you'll be able to follow along in your email to what I've covered. Of course, the show notes are always at geeknewscentral.com. You always find them there. And if you're not subscribed to the newsletter. Those of you that are on the newsletter did get a few emails this weekend, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But for those of you watching either on Ustream tonight, we're not pushing to Justin tonight yet. Still kind of getting back in the zone here. And also, if you're watching on the Roku or Boxy, welcome to the show. Well, it is the end of the month, and I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors. Our sponsors have really taken care of the show here and taken care of making sure that my family gets to eat. And I want to thank you for supporting the sponsors this month. And as I always do, again, they're a big part of the show and really allow me to do what I do best. So I want to thank them really from the bottom of my heart. And if you're looking really for products and services, and when it comes to being online, GoDaddy.com is really the place to go. Get over to GoDaddy and you can find domain names. You can find great deals on hosting accounts. You can find a whole variety of online services, all of which I stand strongly behind. You guys know that I went over and signed up for one of their business accounts. I'm using one of their survey applications now that's saving me about $220 a year compared to using SurveyMonkey, which I used to pay like $250 a year for a subscription. Now I'm using GoDaddy's business, one of their business services. So there's lots of different things over there at GoDaddy that you can save money on. And what a great Christmas present by giving someone a domain name and a hosting account. Kind of unique. It allowed them to explore their abilities online And it really is very inexpensive. You can even give gift cards away. Now, you can't use my promo codes on the gift cards, but you can use them on the hosting accounts and domains and so forth. So if you're getting to that checkout counter and you've picked up some stuff for a Christmas present, don't forget the promo code Todd. That'll save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. You can find all of my codes for GoDaddy, which there's a whole bunch of them at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, tonight I do want to welcome a new sponsor to the mix, and this is an exciting announcement for me. We are bringing on Luxor Casino in Las Vegas. They have signed up, and they are actually going to be one of our primary sponsors for the Consumer Electronics Show 2011. They're going to be the official home base of the Tech Podcast Network crew while we're there, and we're excited to shift our base of locations from one MGM property to another. And we're going to be at Luxor. It's going to be an outstanding event. It really is. And they're going to be over there, and they're going to be taking care of us, feeding us the whole nine yards. And when we were at Blog World, we kind of took a walk through and looked at their new wing of the hotel. And we're talking with management and trying to make this happen. And this has come together. So Luxor has signed up to be a sponsor for our show at CES 2011. But as part of our pre-wrap-up to that, we want to promote them. And if you're thinking about going to Las Vegas, if you haven't checked out Luxor in a while, this is the time to do it, because they have some new wings, renovated rooms. It's really kind of a hip, cool scene. So definitely check it out. I've got a new banner up on the website, and there'll be a link in the show notes tonight. So definitely check Luxor out. And if you're thinking about going to Vegas, they got great room rates. They really do. So check them out, and we'd appreciate you supporting us by, you know, going over to Luxor and booking a few rooms when you go to Vegas next time. And let them know. Let them know that you heard it here from the show here at Geek News Central and part of the Tech Podcast Network coverage at CES 2011. Well, let me talk a little bit about the email many of you got and some of you had actually seen on the website. This actual incident started on Friday, and I was not made aware of it until very early Saturday morning. But I have a cousin. My family is all based in my extended family is in Michigan, Ohio. Those are the southern Michigan and northern Ohio area. And part of the family is over in Lenawee County, Michigan, which is about 75 miles away from Detroit. I was made aware Saturday morning that my cousin Tanya, who has three young children. She has some older children as well from a previous marriage, but her youngest three children, Tanner, Alexander, and Andrew, age 5 to 9, were missing. And essentially what it boils down to is she's in the middle of a bitter divorce, and the soon-to-be ex-husband, there'd been some issues a couple months ago where he'd taken a couple of the older ones to Florida, and they fought to get him back. And long story short, on Thanksgiving Day, the neighbors saw the kids out playing. This was a court-ordered visitation that he was allowed to have. And for whatever reason, I don't know. But make a long story short, come Friday, my cousin finds out that he is in the hospital for having attempted to take his own life. She immediately become very worried and called the local police there. They went to his house and could not find the kids. So as it stands today, and a whole story has unfolded, nationwide Amber Alert media coverage, as you would expect, CNN, Fox, everyone is parked in their driveway. This has made national news headlines across the country, and boils down to here we are Monday evening, 8:46 p.m. Honolulu time, when I'm recording this show, and the kids are still missing. So we're beyond the 72-hour mark at this point. And, you know, it's one of those situations. It's not good. I'm kind of helpless here. So basically what I started doing on Saturday was trying to get the Twitter message out, get people on Facebook aware. And I want to thank all of you that really the army of retweeters that spread the word. the number of people that Facebook picked up on. I was trying to do a quick calculation, and I think we had, from my tweets and my Facebook postings, about 2,200 repostings, either via Twitter and via Facebook. So that really got the message out, and we tried to focus it on that Michigan, Indiana, Ohio area. I know people from all over the country supported. I know that a lot of the fans of the show put it up on their website, even if they weren't even near that area. You know, any situation with these types of cases, obviously the spouse is suspect. And in this case, he has basically said that he was the one that had the kids and gave the kids to someone else. Your thoughts and prayers in the number of emails that come back have been appreciated. While I have not seen my cousin in a couple of years, it still strikes pretty close to home. This is on my dad's side of the family. There's a huge number of grandchildren. I am the oldest of the grandchildren. Tanya is number two in age, so she's closest to my age. And then they range all the way down to a very young age, because we have quite a 30-some years spread in kids, actually 20-some years in kid ages for actual real cousins. So I guess 25 is the total. But anyway, make the long story short. Bad situation, but I appreciate everyone's feedback and thoughts and prayers on that. But I just wanted to give you an update. Many of you had wanted to know more. I know more, but I can't say more at this point. It's just, it's one of those situations, an ongoing investigation. And again, here I am in Hawaii kind of as an outsider, and the only thing I could do is basically pass media advice and that stuff back to the family. So that being that, today, this morning at 8 a.m., I get a call, actually 10 a.m., I get a call from my wife, and she says, you need to come to school. Chris has broken his arm. And I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, he's in the nurse's station. I'm here with him. She's working a part-time job. So I zoomed down to school and picked him up. And at first I didn't, the way he was acting, I didn't think we had a broken arm. But the more we progressed, by the time we get into the ER, I was pretty convinced that that's what we were dealing with. And 7 or 8 hours later, that's the reason I started the show a little late tonight, I'm back home with a young man with a cast on. So, yeah, it's not a full break, but he's got some sort of, they call it bunching or something like that. But anyway, it's not good. He's not happy. He's got not a full cast, kind of a splint right now. He's going to go be seen in 7 days. Excuse me. But, emergency rooms are not for emergencies anymore. Emergency rooms are for people with colds and sinus problems. And I was appalled, truly appalled. It's been a few years since I've been in an emergency room, but I walked in there thinking, this is going to be fast. I'm going to get in. And it was 3 hours and 52 minutes from the time we got checked in to the time we were actually seen. So insane, truly insane. But I guess that's what you deal with. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the rest of this stuff here. Again, I put up a special show over Thanksgiving, and I put it up on my special media feed. It's the presentation I made at Blog World and New Media Expo, and I decided to make that available to everyone. I felt that that was a good presentation to put out and make available to the entire Ohana. So that's available for you to check out if you want to. Of course, we had the Saturday morning tech show as well with Rob Greenlee and another one of our hosts that was supposed to be here. He had his own emergency, but it's been very busy here. Of course, we had to rearrange the office to get moved in with the new TriCaster, and I wanted to bring you a whole bunch of new features tonight. I'm not ready to do it yet just because of the craziness going on, but I've got a great show lined up for you. I've talked enough here on personal stuff, so let me get into tech here, but let's take care of our last little business here. Colleagues are now in different offices, working from home, and they're always traveling. It's impossible to get everyone you need in the same room for a meeting. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. The whole team can attend a meeting online no matter where they are. You just need a computer with an internet connection. Whoever leads the meeting shows their desktop to everyone else in the meeting right there for everyone to see, collaborate on documents real time. It's more efficient and faster than a boring old conference call, that's for sure. You guys know that I use GoToMeeting. I've used it for years. I know it's absolutely simple to use, and it just basically gets started with a single click of the button. And as a listener of this show, you can get a free 45-day trial of GoToMeeting by going to GoToMeeting.com, click the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast for your free 45-day trial. Thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at GNC. Okay, let me go ahead here and bounce into the content. And someone says, how's the fan on the new TriCaster, Todd? I haven't gotten the new fan. The fan in the TriCaster is loud. Someone was asking in the chat. It's loud, but I am waiting on the replacement fan, and I actually ordered a hush box for this thing. And this thing is, you know, really not too bad. It's about 3 feet away from me, and I've kind of got it shielded so that the noise goes another place. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to the replacement fan coming in. Okay, let me go ahead here and bounce into the content tonight. And first article up is we're going to talk a little bit about HughesNet. HughesNet is really getting ready to make the jump here. They are going to be punching up a new satellite. And when they do so, it's going to increase the speed for those of you that are using HughesNet in areas that you essentially don't have good internet connectivity. And of course, this thing wants to pop up an ad here. And so what they're saying is they're going to be able to deliver speeds up to 20 times faster than what they're be able to deliver now, which is a huge, huge increase for the for this specific service. You know what I do when I'm doing this show is I load the articles in a separate browser as I'm going on, and of course a specific ad is keeping the browser from loading completely. But the new satellite called Jupiter will be able to transfer data faster than the company's current dedicated Spaceway satellite, an array of transponder leased on other orbiting craft as well. So specifically, they're going to be looking at about a potential of a 20 meg download rate. So that's quite an improvement on the HughesNet satellites. So be launched here in the next couple of years. Been a lot of discussion on space.com about the Air Force's X-37B space plane. A lot of conversation about what it's doing and how it may be, you know, one of those type of projects in the government that is wasting money based upon, you know, other technologies are available to get other types of payloads into space. But a lot of interesting questions by space watchers as well as what it's up to. And so anyway, I have this link up in the show notes for you, for those of you that are interested in watching or, you know, keeping track of what's going on there. Here we're on Don Dodge's website, Google's secret code language. And I kind of had to laugh because, you know, we all know LLL and, you know, there's all types of different acronyms we use, shorthand when we're doing chat and so forth. But here's a few. YT, you there. VC, video conference. WFH, yes, I'm working from home. WDYT, what do you think? And then it's QT11, maybe second quarter of 2011. All kinds of different stuff. SGTM, sounds good to me. YH, you are welcome. Of course, we all know what TTYL is. OOO is are you out of office? So he puts up some of the Google code, and I think some of this crosses over to code that we've used, instant messages, probably stuff that our kids are using. But the few new ones here, UYT, being you there, that's a new one for me. I haven't used that. And YW is you're welcome. I've never used that before. Maybe you guys are like, Todd, that's like old school, dude. Where you been? But anyway, I'll have this link up to Google's secret code language. You want to talk about some secret code language? Talk to a military guy. Ask him what he does and where he works, and he'll throw so many different acronyms at you that you won't even be able to, huh? You work on what? Doing what? And he's all these three-letter acronyms, and I've been TDY to UFL and da-da-da-da-da-da. It just goes on and on. I know. I used to talk the language. And still can if I need to, but acronyms are the I think the purveyors of the military were the ones that came up with it the most. Hey, Microsoft, the Word XML patent case is going to be heard by the Supreme Court. So, you know, for the time being, Office is still going to be able to be sold. And, you know, Microsoft has struck out on two previous attempts to have the conviction, or actually not the, the judgment overturned. And they obviously don't want to pay that $290 million unless they have to. So they're taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. And I guess it's going to be heard by the Supreme Court. You know, the folks that are having a lot of fun with the Kinect camera, they hits just keep coming. Today it was announced that a hack Microsoft Kinect is now trained to recognize objects. So with the release of Open Kinect, an open source library that lets PC users interact with Microsoft's depth sensing environment recognizing Kinect, a lot of cool applications of technology are beginning to emerge. There's a pretty cool video here on downloadsquad.switch.com. I have a link, of course, up in the show notes, and it'll show you how Kinect is actually recognizing objects on the PC, which I think is pretty cool. So I don't know exactly how they've done this, but pretty cool what they've been able to do so far. And I'm sure this is going to be the you know, one of the most hacked up devices that are out there over time. There's a article. You know how you can they had that service where you could go and name a star. And you could go and, you know, you could send in your money and they would name a star after, you know, your wife. You basically, you know, that was, honey, there's your star. I've registered it. Well, some gal in the UK has decided that after billions of years that she deserves to own it. Actually, a woman in Spain in the Sagi region of Galicia said Friday she had registered the star at a local notary public as being her property. Angels Duran, 49, told the online edition of Daily Mundo she took the steps in September after reading about an American man who had registered himself as the owner of the moon and most of the planets in our solar system. Now, we all know there's an international agreement which states that no country may claim ownership of a planet, but it says nothing about an individual, she said. So she said, hey, no one's going to lay claim to it. I'm going to lay claim to it, and I'm going to start trying to charge companies that want to use the sun for a royalty to be paid back to the Spanish government. Yeah, try to enforce that one. You know, what kind of kook, and this is nothing but a publicity stunt, but she actually went and did this thinking that she's going to be able to claim ownership of the sun? Good luck with that one, my friend. So I guess she decided she needed a pretty big Christmas present, a hot Christmas present. All right, let's talk about Comcast. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Just when we were talking a couple weeks ago about net neutrality, it looks like, and this is an article, this made it all over the place, but I picked the article up on Engadget. Comcast and Level 3 are squaring off over video streaming network neutrality principles. According to networking company Networking Level 3 Communications, Comcast just couldn't wait for its NBC deal to go through before getting all jerky with the access to online video, telling Level 3 on November 19th that it would need to pay a fee to deliver video to Comcast customers. Level 3 delivers videos from many companies over its networks. Of course, you know Level 3 made a deal with Netflix. So what Comcast is saying is, hey, if you want to deliver Netflix to my customers or our customers, you're going to have to pay a fee to do that. And the way this normally works is Comcast has their own infrastructure. Level 3 is a backhaul provider. And generally, there's a peering agreement. And normally, as long as the traffic is pretty equal going between the two, there's not an issue. And there's really no change of money because, you know, one's moving through one's moving through another. It's a kind of an even Steven type of deal. But because they're saying that Netflix is being delivered by Level 3, that balance is going to be offset because Comcast customers who obviously are paying for their service, who are demanding Netflix videos through their Comcast account, are going to be asking for that. But somehow Comcast thinks they need to get their shorts up in a jerk and try to tell level three, you need to pay us some money so that this can, you know, so that we can allow this content through to our customers. You know, this may be just a ploy, obviously, by Comcast, but hello? Net neutrality? Just imagine you're a Comcast customer. You get a Roku for Christmas. You hook it up thinking you're going to be able to watch some Netflix videos, and you try to access it and it won't get any videos from Netflix. So you call up Comcast and say, hey, I'm got my box hooked up. It's got an IP. I'm talking to the server. It's, you know, but I can't get no videos. Oh, sir, level three hasn't paid our bribery fee to allow this video through. So you're not going to get your Netflix. And we don't care if you're a paying customer. So Comcast has responded saying it's doing no such thing. And it's actually level three seeking a competitive advantage by suddenly sending far more information on Comcast network than it accepts. Hello? It's what the customers want. This could be coming from anywhere. So once again, Comcast? NBC? NBC Comcast? What happens when I want to watch stuff on Hulu that's coming from NBC? What's going to happen now? Is Time Warner going to tell Comcast, oh, no, you want to send Todd Hulu? You have to pay us some money to do that. It's ridiculous. It really is. So the insanity ensues. All right, I know this is a family-safe show, but fellas, Hugh Hefner has released a not-so-discreet 250-gig cover-to-cover hard drive that covers all episodes of his periodical, all really since 1953. It's going to set you back 300 bills, but if you are a collector and you like to read the articles, 300 bucks will buy you every issue from 1953 to 2010 delivered on hard drive. Okay, let's talk about Microsoft. Microsoft is in talks, supposedly, to start a new TV service using the Xbox 360. And this could be pretty exciting news here. If this proves to be true, they might be able to do something here that Google has not been able to do. If they are actually negotiating for the content and they're going to make certain content available via the Xbox 360, to me, that sounds like a pretty righteous deal where I can go in and tell my cable provider, bye-bye, and use the Xbox 360 to get my TV service. Now, I kind of wondered why Microsoft had been quiet. And this was an article over on Engadget, covered on many sites today as well. But, with the recent smart TV explosion, you know, they are in a great position because of the base of Xboxes that they have out there, and also Windows Media Center and so forth, to be able, you think that they would, you know, they're in the most homes of anybody from that perspective. So we'll see how this develops. You know, the thing about the 360, though, about Xbox, it is a money-making machine for Microsoft. They make a huge amount of money on that platform every year. So they're not so much of a rush to allow content like mine to have a prominent location within the 360 just because they're not making no money, and they have to answer to the shareholders. So what we need to do is we need to figure out the way to really get Microsoft to say, we really need to allow third-party companies like Raw Voice, a company of mine, to come in and put in applications that will give you access to all this great content and archived and controlled the way we like to, basically, not controlled, but the way we like to present it. And I think that if we could figure that out, I know you can get content on there. You have to onesie-twosie it and find it. And some other, the bigger boys that have the bigger video audiences are definitely on there already. But it should be easy if we have an Xbox 360 just to add the content that we want onto the device. I'll have to ask Rob about that. Of course, you know, Rob Greenlee is a regular guest on my Saturday morning tech show. And we'll have to talk a little bit more about the 360 and its capabilities. You guys, because, well, I can't say it too loud, but I actually better not even say it at all, but because you guys know what's coming to my kids for Christmas, right? Anyway, we'll see what happens there. But I guess I should dig in deeper too, just haven't had time. All right, Windows Home Server, boy oh boy. You know, Microsoft, and I had heard a little bit about this last week, but I just did not take the time to read through what was going on. You know, I'm a big Windows Home Server fan. I really love my, as a matter of fact, I'm on my second Windows Home Server box, upgraded to a higher processor, and it just sits there and churns away, and it saved my life several times when some hard drives have blew out. And the drive extender feature, which allows me to put in multiple drives, and it just, you know, if I need to go bigger, I just put a bigger drive in it. And it, you know, it's because it's RAID controlled. It just rebuilds the drive and it's all good. But Microsoft has confirmed that the next release of Windows Home Server called Veil, due in the first half of 2011, will not feature drive extender, indicating that you're going to need to simply buy bigger drives and manually hand a data replication or rely on RAID to make this happen. Now, they already do that somehow with it, the drive extender technology. So for me, this is not good news, and a lot of people are really upset. So there's been some questions fired back to Microsoft. And here's a response that was sent by Terry Walsh over at We Got Served, was essentially sent a note to Steve Ballmer. And the response was, let's look into it. So basically they announced they were going to be removing it, and people are outraged. And his, you know, basically four word response is kind of a shortcoming. Let's look into it. Doesn't tell me a lot. This guy was a Microsoft MVP. And so it is interesting. Of course, I'm not a Microsoft MVP, so I don't have that direct line to company leaders like that. But we'll see. If you're a Windows Home Server fan, don't be upgrading when they roll out Veil. That's for sure. All right, makeofuse.com is got a pretty good article on cool website and tools. So this is just different types of tools that you can use on your website. Some things like ratio finding, different types of geo readers, all kinds of cool little tools here in this article. I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. So I'm finding I'm going to this site more and more often. So definitely check out makeuseof.com. Another article I found over there was four unique tools to monitor Flickr via RSS. You guys know that when we go to CES this year, we are going to be dropping literally 1,000 or 2,000 images into our Tech Podcast Flickr stream. So if you want to follow our Flickr stream, here's some great tools that you can use to really stay up on what we're going to be punching into that thing on a regular basis. Of course, you just can go over there and go through them as well. But we're going to be updating quickly, and you'll want to stay abreast of what we're pumping into our Flickr account. So I'll have the link up to this article as well. Hey, over on GigaOM, there's a speech made by Bram Cohen. Of course, Bram Cohen is the mastermind behind BitTorrent, and he knows the strengths and weaknesses of the peer-to-peer protocol. And he's pretty outspoken, obviously. He says, though, and this is something that I had looked at before, was, you know, one of the things that bothers me about what we're doing on with Ustream is they're just inundating people now with advertisements to the point that it's just beyond annoying. And looking at commercial services on going with a commercial stream, you know, I could very easily do that for this show and not be impacted based upon, you know, I'm recording the show late. There's generally not very many people watching the stream. So from a dollar-to-dollar standpoint, it would be almost nothing on a monthly basis. And people wouldn't be inundated with the ads. But I was, you know, thinking, okay, can we do this for CES? And, you know, with the potentially of having 10,000 people live on the stream, that scared me a little bit based on, you know, really what the real dollar amount was. And, you know, we're going to have to live with the impact of Ustream putting ads in that content, you know, competing essentially with our advertiser spots. But, you know, that's the price, you know, we pay for using a free service. Unless somebody wants to come in and be our streaming sponsor and can guarantee that they're able to keep us online when 10,000 people are live pulling the stream down, or even 15,000, which we think we could peak out at. So, you know, I had looked at this BitTorrent and being a potential way to distribute live streaming, and it just at this point is not viable as a platform. And he, you know, he basically confirms this in this new TV article. So I find it interesting, though, that he says in the interview that he's been working on his own live streaming solution for the last 2 years, and he said it has only recently become close to releasable. His new approach to peer-to-peer live streaming is being developed as a product of BitTorrent, but the company has so far kept mum about what the product will eventually look like. And he had hinted at the possibility that BitTorrent will compete with live streaming sites like Ustream and Justin. And when asked if this technology was for big networks, he says that this technology is for the guy in the basement. That's me. user just starting out. He says that often don't have the big infrastructure and the big dollars and so I'm kind of curious about what they're doing here. It couldn't come at a time too soon. Definitely not something you want to experiment with from the very first time when you're, you know, you got to have a guaranteed video feed up. But so far as maybe doing it on this show, heck yes. Let's see what we can do. And that way we, you know, and they want to go ad-free on Ustream and the amount of money they want to charge, give me a break. And I know they're not making that much money on our ads that they're rolling in there. So I can't imagine, you know, it's, you know, if you're telling me that you're making that much money on your ads on my show, I'm definitely in the wrong business. That's for sure. Because of the cost that they want to charge you to go ad free. Okay, moving on here. Video preview feature coming to Netflix. So this is pretty cool. Netflix is going to be testing a TV video preview feature for its online catalog on the Sony PS3. So that's big. This feature will use a predefined segment from the first minutes of a movie for a 2-minute preview. And the video starts and then it'll stop at 2-minute point. And you can skip to the next movie to do a preview, or you can go back to the beginning and start it or continue on, which is kind of a cool feature. Hey, I must mention here that, one of the challenges that I foresee, and something that I just haven't had time on, and I'm really kind of looking for a person to help me out here, is that right now we're able to easily stream this show. But for me to get this show basically streamed onto an iPad or onto an Apple TV, I got to rely on the third-party networks we've been using to re-encode the content to be able to get the content into those devices. Basically, if you're not picked as one of their partner shows or whatever, that doesn't happen. So if any of you have been messing with this type of technology, if you've been messing with some of the tools that are out there and available, drop me an email. We'd love to talk to you, or at least I'd love to talk to you about potentially working with me to get the stream set up so that we have multiple distribution points as we move into the new year. All right, study for ads. And I always love reading this type of stuff here because you never know what little tidbits of information are going to come out. And, you know, we all agree that, you know, big fat ads that, you know, pre-roll content is a little bit annoying, but it's something we kind of have to live through at this point. But here's what we found, or what they found in the study. And this was done by Tidal TV. And analyzed the difference in performance between 15-second ads and 30-second ads. And after evaluating 28 different advertising campaigns that generated around 62 million impressions, the issues they found has little to do with length. When audiences were confronted with a 30-second ad as opposed to a 15-second ad, audiences have two reactions, clicking away or clicking through. While Tidal TV observed that a longer ad led to a 10% drop-off in video completion, there was 11% increase in click-through rates, which is pretty interesting here. So even though the ads were longer, they had higher click-through rates. In other words, you were clicking on the ad and moving into the, essentially going into watching the, you know, taking you where the ad sent you. But also, what they found and what we've always known here at this show, was it's largely due to relevancy. You know, if you are given a 15-second ad on diapers on this show, you're not so inclined to click on the ad, whereas maybe some sort of tech commercial may interest you a little more. And if it has relevancy, you may click through and check out the advertiser. So I don't think any of us didn't doubt that. So, or didn't, you know, we all kind of known that. But the question is, how many of you are dealing with that full 30-second ad and then continued? I just thought the drop-off rate would be much higher. You know, dollar for dollar, getting money on pre-roll videos has been really, they don't hardly pay nothing. You know, they really don't. So maybe that's changing as they build up more empirical data like this. All right, over on OGizmo, and this is becoming a fun site for me. You know, it's getting a little cold for some of you. And I must admit, I'm gloating here in, 75 degree weather and nice trade winds tonight. But have you pulled your pajamas out of the drawer? Now, how many of you wear pajamas? I don't wear pajamas. Don't de-visualize that, please. But the folks at Haymaker Shelmer have come up with a $39.95 pajama warming pouch. You can put your pajamas in there, and it turns it on. It heats them up, gets them nice and warm, so that when you are ready to jump in your pajamas, you know, I don't get this one. Okay, if you like, when you put your pajamas on, you get out of the shower, right? And I know when it's colder, you're probably wearing some sweats or something, but I don't think anybody really wears, I don't know, maybe someone does. I'm sorry if I insulted anyone, but and maybe I've lived where it's warm too long. I've become too spoiled. I guess that was one of the problems I was having in Albuquerque. You know, I was trying to run around the room like I was in Hawaii. Now, could never get the thermostat just right. Either it was freezing or it was too cold. All right. Let's talk about WordPress a little bit and the deal that was made with Microsoft. You know, a couple months ago, Microsoft announced that WordPress was going to be used in migrating people from Microsoft Spaces into WordPress. And at the time, there was a lot of speculation on how many actual accounts were moved. But Microsoft was reporting that 500,000 former Spaces blogs are now WordPress blogs. Another 500,000 Windows Live customers have created new WordPress blogs. That's significant numbers, folks. 1 million new customers. So that's pretty big. How many of you have used Google Earth recently? Well, Google's announced version 6 of Google Earth. And, you know, it's a geographical exploration software for Windows and OS X, and, of course, Linux as well. They announced it today. The update follows version 5.2, which was released in June. But there's some major changes here. Google Street View level photographic imagery is now integrated with Earth Maps, satellite photos, and computer-generated renderings in much more seamless fashion. You see a lot more. You see trees. You see all kinds of information here that wasn't there before. So if you haven't, definitely want to check out Google Earth's new update, Google Earth version 6 available. And it works on, again, all operating systems. Imagine this, and this is a big one. This has come from torrentfreak.com. Imagine you are out surfing the net. You think, man, that would make a good domain name. And you go pick up a domain name. And a few days later, your door's busted in. The police arrive, and they confiscate all your electronics. They put you in handcuffs, and they inform you that you are being accused of copyright infringement, conspiracy to defraud, and distributing an article which caused loss of money to a third party, all just by registering a domain name. Imagine you're that party, and you're like, what did I do? Well, some guy in the UK in October registered the domain name mulve, MULVE.com. Little did he know that there was a mulve music app which had been launched in September that was tied to a Russian website, which really allowed people to defraud the music companies. And this guy had the misfortune of registering the domain name. And the UK police assumed it was him, and came in resting. So he still hasn't got his gear back. He's been, you know, basically, he was, I don't know if he was actually in jail for 6 weeks or if he got on bail. But can you imagine? Can you imagine surprise? Be like, what? What did I do? And, you know, you would think something like that would be able to be cleared very, very quickly, but apparently not. Over the weekend, the United States government responds to domain seizures. Well, actually, the U.S. government seized about 80 different domains. All of these are supposedly, and according to the Department of Justice, and this is a sting that was done. It's called Operation In Our Sights 2. The authorities claim that the actions were targeted at websites that were involved in the illegal sale and distribution of counterfeit and copyrighted goods, but failed to explain why a BitTorrent meta search engine was included. So they seized 82 sites, and basically the domains, when you go to the webpage, says this domain has been seized by ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, pursuant to a seizure warrant issued by United States District Court under authority 18 U.S. Section 981 and 2323. So basically say that these sites were full of counterfeit goods, copyrighted goods, stuff that should not be sold, and they were trying to do this in lieu of you know, the sales on when people are going online to sell Cyber Monday. So, but it is interesting. There's a huge list here, and I'm looking at all these different domain names. It's handbag, silk, Louis Vuitton, jerseys, Blueberry gear, all kinds of stuff. Now, I have to tell you something I almost got sucked in on over the weekend. I must have mistyped twitter.com when I was loading my browser. And it took me to a site that looked, and I wasn't paying attention. I just typed it. And it says, oh, we're doing a one-time survey to win something. And I was like, wow, Twitter's having a contest. And I got to the first column filled out. And he said, wait, what am I doing here? And immediately realized that I almost got sucked in thinking that Twitter was having some sort of a contest. They were actually asked three or four survey questions. And then, you know, basically they wanted some information. And I was like, no, what an idiot. And I closed the browser and said, okay, I didn't get no passwords. I didn't type anything in there that was, you know, basically retracing it. Because I only got to the first column trying to figure out exactly, remember exactly what I did. But it kind of freaked me out. It really did. So, you know, everyone can get sucked in once in a while. And I almost did. Imagine you are a struggling screenwriter and you decide to help out other screenwriters. As a matter of fact, you know, I think this is something very interesting. There's a lot of screenwriters out there who have submitted scripts to a major motion picture studios, and they basically got thrown on the shelf. They didn't get picked up or bought or anything like that. Some of the scripts are being paid for to be developed by the studios and so forth. But this gal, who apparently sells flowers, quote unquote, to make ends meet, is now facing a major lawsuit after creating a free online library of Hollywood movie scripts to assist other screenwriters. She incurred the wrath of 20th Century Fox without any previous contact. The movie giant sent investigators to her home to gather information and has now sued her for a mind-boggling $12 million. I guess in their complaint, the Hollywood giant says it's seeking damages and injunctive relief for copyright infringement and contributory copyright infringement. Studio claims that she uploaded and made available to others via the internet a script of Deadpool, the copyright to which is owned by Fox and which is a script for a project still in development. And she's also accused of uploading, making available roughly 100 movie and television scripts during the 2009 and 2010, some of them relating to relatively old films such as Aliens, Edward Scissorhands, and Wall Street. So apparently she put up as much as 79 movie scripts, and they're seeking $150,000 statutory damages for each one. You know, here's the thing. You could all you got to do is listen to the movie, and you can recreate a script. So, boy, oh, boy. But they are hammering this chick, and we'll see what happens with this. Obviously, she doesn't have enough money to hire an attorney, But she's in big trouble here over this. So be careful when you're out there trying to do good to help other people and you're using scripts and stuff that you don't have the rights to. Of course, the Pirate Bay appeal verdict, guilty again. And last Friday, the Swedish Appeal Court announced its decision. And the court has decreased the prison sentences for the three defendants, but increased the damages. And so essentially, Peter Sunday is getting 8 months in prison. Frederick Nage is getting 10 months in prison. And Carl Lundstrom is getting 4 months. And they all three of them have to share $6.5 million in damages. So, I don't know how soon these guys are headed to the slammer. This is what's happening next. So, I'll keep you advised that these guys actually report to jail. Hey, there's a hack forthcoming that's going to let Apple TV stream videos from third-party apps. You guys know that the AirPlay only works with from one application currently. But there's a hack out there to make it work with Netflix and VLC and some others as well. So there could be a hack coming here that will allow you to use AirPlay on other apps. Keep you advised on that. Asa Dolzer over on his website, of course, Asa works with the Mozilla Foundation, and he has a very interesting write-up here. And I didn't even realize this, but I actually opened up my Firefox plugins and was pretty shocked to see a few things, too. He had complained in a post a couple of days ago about unwanted plugins in Firefox, and he kind of got tore up on it, so he got specific about it. He says, why does Microsoft, Google, Apple, and others think that it's okay to add plugins to Firefox when they're installing their software packages? He said, when I installed iTunes in order to manage my music collection and sync to my iPod, why did Apple think it was okay to add the iTunes application detector plugin to my Firefox web browser without asking me? He said, why did Microsoft think it was okay to sneak their Windows Live Photo Gallery or Office Live plugin Firefox into my browser when I installed Microsoft Office? He says, what makes Google think it's reasonable behavior to let them slip a Google Update plugin to Firefox when I installed Google Earth or Google Chrome without asking me first? And I agree. I think these programs, when they try to tag along on other applications, should be asking permission first. So he's basically telling Google, Microsoft, Apple, or any others out there to stop doing this. So he's telling Microsoft, stop being evil. Apple, stop being evil. Google, stop being evil. Do you guys think this is fair for these companies to do this? I don't think so. Hey, today I found this very cool video, and I think I actually linked to it from a third-party site, but it's over at GE.com. And this is very cool. It's called A Celebration of Flight, and it's actually the third episode is up. And I immediately added this to my bookmarks. You got to see this. If you're an airplane nut, you're going to love this video that they've come up with and some of these other videos they have as well. And it's called Path of Flights. It's really cool. I don't know how they did it, but it's really cool video. I have it linked up for you in the show notes. All right, how many of you are going to buy an HD TV for Christmas? You know, most HDTVs look perfect in the store, and they're usually very good straight out of the box. But if you want to crank up the quality a little bit, it's much easier than you think to get them aligned. Sound and Vision says it's best to start by letting your system warm up for a half hour, and then you can use a Blu-ray player. And for about $25 to $30, you can buy a calibration disc that will guide you through the tinkering with your picture settings. You should do this with your monitors as well. Matter of fact, I did that with the two monitors over the weekend that I'm using with the TriCaster to get the white balance out, because really what it is I've come home and gotten a little sun, and so my face was red, and some people were saying, you look so red, and it was really because my face was a little red. And so I just wanted to make sure the color was balanced, what I was seeing, what you guys are seeing. And but this is a pretty cool guide here. I have this link up for you in the show notes for you to check out. Let me look at where I'm at on time. Okay, I'm doing okay. Did you know that humans can only walk in circles Well, some researchers tried to figure out why, if you walk, drive, or sail blindfolded in the middle of the night with no stars in sight, you'll not be able to keep a straight line. And no matter how tried, no matter how hard you try, you're going to end up going in circles. Humans have a tendency to lean one side or the other, and which causes us ultimately to walk in circles. But when you see this video, you're going to get a good laugh out of it. But that's one of the things why they say when you're lost, always pick a point in the you never can trust yourself to really walk straight. That's why you got to have a your next destination from where you're going. All right, let's talk a little bit about here in Hawaii. Some great news. Bishop Museum in Hawaii is an absolutely great museum, and we take the kids at least once a year. It's a great resource for Hawaiian history, and now what's happening is the Bishop Museum here in Hawaii is going to be launching a online database. The site is going to contain information on sites in Hawaii evacuated by the Bishop Museum archaeologists of over 12,800 sites. It's going to have over 5,000 archaeological research manuscripts. It's going to have lots of data, pictures, and so forth. So some pretty cool stuff that they're doing here in Honolulu. Wanted to make you aware of that. But pretty cool stuff. And I showed my kids this, and they were all excited because they want to dig into this thing and check it out too. So I have a link up for you in the show notes. It's being reported that Google's secret social initiative site is being delayed until 2011. It was supposed to launch sooner than this, but they're saying now early 2011. Hey, remember that U.S. Copyright Group was actually a lawyer firm? Well, they have now been sued in a lawsuit saying that they have committed fraud and that their lawyers lied, and they're going after people in a heavy way. The suit makes two key claims. First, that the group lied to the Copyright Office when it first registered a specific movie on behalf of a German filmmaker. And what was the second one? It's a bunch of false claims. So it's actually a German company that is going after this. So it's not in an American court. Maybe it is. Maybe it is in an American court. Yeah, but I think it's, let me read. Does it say who's actually filing the lawsuit? It doesn't say. But anyway, they're going after them. It's a 96-page complaint, and it's full of accusations. So maybe these guys will have to defend themselves on all these people that they've sent these extortion letters to suck money out of them. Hey, you guys know that the Nissan Leaf is coming, and if you want a truly electric car, this is going to be the vehicle to buy. Rob and I have been talking about this quite a bit on the Saturday Morning Tech Show. He's supposed to get his Nissan Leaf second week of January. He's excited about getting it, and I was teasing him. I said, Rob, if you want to go cross country with this thing, you're going to have to strap a generator and put a 5-gallon can of gasoline in the back to go anywhere, because it really doesn't have a long range. 100, 120 miles is about the max range on it. But it's been named the European Car of the Year. So this is a pretty big award. But I think the thing that's going to be interesting, and the thing I thought about during the Saturday show, was that this might be a business opportunity for those of you that are in the automobile business. with Leafs and all these other electric cars on the street, maybe it's time to pack a generator with all the different connection cords, because I could see now where you're going to be having vehicles that are, the owner came home, he forgot to charge the car, he gets it in the morning, doesn't look at the charge, gets halfway to work, and the doggone thing dies. I could see where there'd be a big business in rescuing cars that have run out of battery juice. So only time will tell. But anyway, the Nissan Leaf is coming out. And if any of you have ordered one of these, love to hear from you. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Now imagine, when it comes to adult material, you know, whatever people watch in the privacy of their homes or wherever they may be is up to them. You know, I'm not a poo-poo or whatever you want to watch. It's up to you. But obviously, if you are downloading of that type of material and you're not paying for it, the adult copyright company is going after those that are stealing adult videos. So the ability of these folks to get money out of people is probably going to be pretty easy, just because people don't want their names in the news. So the EFF is asking the courts to do not name alleged adult pirates. And can you imagine a list, how that would be damaging? There's a real potential for embarrassment or worse, said Paul Levine, attorney for a Public Citizen Litigation Group, a statement. What happens if an adult copyright company accidentally identifies someone? A person could mistakenly be connected to a controversial adult video and could impact their job. Now imagine all this crazy stuff that's out there and your name being aligned with something that is something that you, even if you do or do not watch, you do not want it to be associated with you. And that could be very damaging here. So the EFF is saying that claims made by the adult film companies should not be, they should not be allowed to put their names out on the street. So we'll see. They want to. So if that doesn't get your eyeballs opened up, be careful out there on what you're downloading via whatever site you're downloading stuff from, okay? Also, a couple of Apple issues. Apple you're finding out that with the Apple interface design, identity thieves can hide URLs on the iPhone's limited screen real estate, tricking users and thinking they're a legitimate site. So be very careful on where you're actually going when you're typing in a URL on your iPhone. So be very careful out there, okay? Because it's easy to get sucked into. I have this article linked up in the show notes. Remember how Tiffany, the place that sells very expensive jewelry and so forth? Tiffany is not going to be heard by the Supreme Court in their claim against eBay, where they were trying to hold eBay responsible for people that were selling counterfeit goods on eBay that bore the Tiffany name. So it appears that they're going to not allow this to go any further. And Tiffany has definitely lost her battle now with the courts on their suit against eBay. So they're just going to have to go against the individual folks. Also, the first criminal trial over game console mod chips began Tuesday. A Southern California man was going to get his day in court in front of his peers on criminal charges violating copyright laws by modifying the Xbox 360. And this will be the first trial of its kind. Matthew Crippen is charged with two counts of violating anti-circumvention provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, and he could face 3 years in prison. So the judge last week really destroyed his defense. He ruled that he can't use a fair use doctrine and defense at his trial. So basically, it's okay to hack the iPhone so long as you're not changing the hardware, but if you go in and touch the hardware with an actual mod, stand by. You are not protected under fair use rights. Okay, let me go ahead and bounce into email that we've gotten. If you have comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Trucker Tom sent me an email here. Scientists trick cells into switching identities. Woo! And also, I've got a voicemail we'll play, too. I'll do that here in a second. So, Trucker Tom, thanks for that. I have that link up in the show notes. I want to thank George, Greg, Mark, Susabel, Dave, and the hundreds of others that sent replies to the Hannah Amber Alert. Thank you for replying to that. I definitely appreciate your responses. What else have we got here? Does that article from last week, let me look at the date on that. Got an email from Dave. He said, hey, Todd, I used to listen every... Oh, he said, Todd, I used to listen every week, but I got busy and stopped. I'll try to listen again soon. I hope you're still pronouncing semantic correct. If you need help, you can Google their technical support number and hear how they pronounce it on their voice menu system. said, I know you use WHS. Maybe you've already heard that Microsoft is abandoning WHS. I mostly hang out Sage TV forum where some users of Windows Home Server for their Sage TV computer. Here's a link to the story. So he's got some more information in there. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. Let me see here. What else have we got? Make sure I don't going into last week's content. I think that's it. I think that's all the email. We didn't get too much email. Everyone's out for Thanksgiving holiday. So let me go ahead and play this voicemail. I don't think this is one we've listened to. If it is, I apologize, but just pulled these down here real quick. Let's see what we've... We didn't do that. Let me look here. Oh. All right. I'm on the wrong date. I've got a few more emails to read here. Let me go back. Got an email from a listener, and he doesn't want me to say his name. He says, Todd, the problem with in-home repeaters, it's not a desire for your $20. We have a big problem with these repeaters corrupting the airwaves with interference. One bad repeater can make a whole cell or sector perform poorly or not at all. When there is a bad repeater, the only way to find it is to get Yagi antenna and search for the house or business that's causing the issues. Verizon AT&T CDMA operates very close to the noise floor, make it very susceptible to interference. The repeaters available to consumers are not built to the high standards necessary to be transmitting. Inside the cellular band, legality of repeaters are questionable when they are operating correctly and are definitely illegal when they are not. It would be nice if there was not a charge for the microcell units when people have coverage issues. Hope this helps. So what I want to do is I'm going to take my repeater, which if I didn't have it here, I would not be able to use my cell phone. And I'm going to stick this thing on a spectrum analyzer. I'm going to find out what the noise floor of this thing is. I'm going to go through and do a little analysis myself and get back to you. Mine's from a major manufacturer that advertises these all over the net. And I probably can just pop the box open and look at the amplifier and run that on eBay, not on eBay, but run a Google search on it and get the specs on it. But I'm going to stick a spectrum analyzer on this thing and actually see what it does. And I'll let one of our Ohana members know where it comes in at on the noise floor level and what we're seeing in application and so forth. All right, let me go ahead and play this voicemail here, as I said I would. And again, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365.
Hey, Todd. It's Seth from Michigan calling you up and talk to you about show on 1122. It would actually be episode 629. And you are talking about the phones that would have data plans to automatically upload photos that you would take.
Right.
I'm sorry, not phones, cameras.
Yeah.
My guess is it may not work, because a lot of people that are uploading photos are actually uploading them to services such as Facebook, and most of the time they actually limit the size of a photo.
Mm.
Most of the time it's under 800 by 600, give or take. And say you take a really awesome photo with a good lens point-and-shoot camera, your photo is huge and
right,
really nice for editing, really nice quality. A lot of people can't notice the difference when you shrink it down to 800 by 600 compared to a normal phone one. Now, I know you and me and a lot of other listeners can notice the difference, but I believe that a lot of more novice users don't notice the actual difference once it is at a smaller resolution. And it may work, but I feel like just for uploading to services such as Facebook with the smaller resized image, it may not be noticeable for that. Just my thought on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my thought on that. All right, thanks. Bye.
Hey, yeah, good point, but they could alleviate...
Hey, Todd, it's Seth from Michigan calling
sure
you up and talk to you about...
That's what happens when I have this thing on replay. You know, one thing that they could do, Seth, is that they could have a setting in there, master image, upload image. They could make a copy of that. And, you know, there's no reason why the software in the phone, memory sticks are cheap. They're big. So you take a big picture, it could make a smaller picture at a lower res. It's more suitable for Facebook or Flickr and be able to bounce that one off. So, you know, that would be really the way they could solve that. Matter of fact, that would be a beautiful feature for the phone where you would have your nice, beautiful, high-res image that would be a master that goes into your master database. And then you would have all these secondary images at the lower resolution that you could immediately just, boom, send them off somewhere without having to take them into a photo editing application. You know, that's probably the million-dollar idea for the camera folks. And there surely is enough processing power within the camera to be able to do that. It's just an extra, you know, that you already got the setting features, and all it does is just resizes it and downsizes the pixel count. So I think that's maybe what they'll do. But I think you're probably right, in at least in the iterations that are out there now. I don't necessarily want to send my, you know, my big, huge 46K, or, you know what I'm talking about, a 4,000 by 3,000, whatever it is, a pixel image up to Facebook or over to Flickr. Although on Flickr, we're sending all raw. We send everything that is the raw image. So that works out the best. So thanks for calling. We definitely appreciate that. And let me go ahead and take just a second here and remind you guys that on December 1st, the voting is going to start for podcast awards. So feel free to go over to podcastawards.com and start voting for your favorite podcast. We put the slate up, announced the slate yesterday. So that's up and available for you to check out. A lot of great shows over there. A lot of brand new shows made the list. The competition was unbelievable. Shows that have easily made it in the past, they weren't even in play, to be honest with you. And a lot of weird stuff that content creators are doing these days. I want to take also this time, I should have done this at the beginning of the show, to thank all of our volunteers that volunteered to do reviews. I know that I made you guys work through the holiday, and I want to thank everyone for getting their stuff back on time. I quite literally spent all day Saturday taking all your spreadsheets and databases and merging them together and getting the list together. It was a huge job to get that done in 7 days. And you guys went above and beyond. So, you know, a big hand clap to all our volunteers. I know some of you did multiple categories, and we had, because we didn't have as many numbers this year as we've had in the past. But thank you for all your hard work. It was truly appreciated. And you guys really helped me make the podcast awards what it is. There would just be no way I could go through and without any type of impartiality be able to judge the sites. I'm just too critical. So, it's good that a listener ear eye, and we have that great checklist that you guys went through. Thanks so much for doing that. I want to remind you, this is a great time of year to get some Ohana wear, okay? I want you to go over to cafepress.com, cafepress.com/Ohana store, and pick up a GNC t-shirt, get a mug, get some notepads, whatever it is, get your GNC Ohana wear, get it for Christmas, okay? Give yourself a Christmas present, support the show. If husbands or fellas, tell your wives, hey, this would be a great Christmas present, honey. Or ladies, you know, vice versa, you know, tell your significant other, give them the link, you know, become a GNC super fan, and appreciate it. And all of you that are insiders, thank you so much. Thank you so much for supporting the show. I am humbled beyond belief. I appreciate every penny that you've donated to the cause here and helping the show. It's greatly appreciated. And if you want to be considered to come on board as an insider, geeknewscentral.com/insider. And I haven't been able to deliver as many insider messages, obviously, as I've wanted to. I put out the presentation from Blog World to everyone. So that was meant initially to be an insider piece, but I wanted to share that with everyone because I felt the information in there was so valuable. So again, thank you for your ongoing contributions to the show. It's greatly appreciated. I guess that's it. Live.geeknewscentral.com. Check out the live site. TPN.tv. We're launching that tomorrow. So you guys will be able to check out TPN.tv. It's a site where we're going to be putting all of the content for CES 2011. We're going to be able to watch live content. So thanks to Angelo for getting the site's almost ready. So you might actually get over there before the final icing is on the cake. But I know he's working on the different stuff. And if I don't stop, I'm going to go along. Everyone, thanks. Everyone, take care. Have a great week. And, you know, again, thank you for those of you that supported me on the Amber Alert. And we hope and pray that my cousin's children are found. And they definitely need any support that you mentally or physically or via prayer or whatever can give them. It's a tough time for the family, and we appreciate it. Any thoughts and any help? I know a number of you actually went and helped with the searches as well that were in that area. So other than that, I guess I'll sign off here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. And aloha.